Gospel of John. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's Word as we read the Word of God together. John chapter 21. Boy, we've got a great Savior, a great book, and a great church. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for your faithfulness. John chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. After these things, and this is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus is in his resurrected body. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and the two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat, any food? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. Come and dine. I want to talk to you this morning about coming and dining at Jesus' table. Father, I pray that you would bless us this morning. Holy Spirit, we need your help this morning. God, do a work in our hearts and our lives today. And don't let us walk out these doors not changed. Help us. Empower me. I need your help. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Here we see Jesus Christ standing on the shore of in his resurrected body. And Jesus gives an invitation to those fishermen. Now understand something. Jesus had risen from the grave. He told them he was going to go to the grave. He would be 3 days in the grave. And then he would rise. And then he would be back. Peter took with the other fishermen and said, threw up their hands and said, Oh man, we lost him. He'd already told him he didn't lose him. He said, I go a-fishing. He goes back to what he was doing before he met the Savior, and he's out there fishing and not catching anything. That's an amazing thing after somebody gets saved. They want to go back to that old life. You can't catch anything then. And Jesus stands on the shore, and as the guys are starting to row in and disappointed and downhearted because of lack of substance, a lack of making any financial need for that day, and he hollers out and says, Have you caught anything? And they said, No. And there on the shore, there's a fire and there's fish. Before they drug that net to the fish, to the shore, and they're cooking at Jesus' table all the time. And he calls out to them, Come and dine. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Jesus' table is set all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, this same resurrected Savior that sat on the shore of Galilee these many, almost 2,000 years or more ago, still hollers out and still gives us an invitation, come and dine. The Master calleth, come and dine. He that fed the multitude turned the water unto wine. He still calls to us today, come and dine. The Master calleth, come and dine. Listen to me. We need to come and dine at Jesus' table, ladies and gentlemen. My heart breaks. Some of us in this room, we need to come to Jesus' table. You've got heartache upon heartache where your own children have disappointed you and hurt you and broke your heart. You need to come to Jesus' table this morning. Come and dine with the Savior this morning. Jesus is calling out with an invitation. Come and dine, my Master called. Come and dine. A lot of us have taken a hard road this year because of the economics. We may not be able to do what we did in the past. Our vacations may be shorter. Our dear folks on fixed income may be finding, I don't know how in the world we're going to make it. The Master calleth, come and dine. Come and dine, the Master calleth. He's still saying that today to every one of us in this room today. He is giving us an invitation to come and dine at His table. Come and dine, my friend. Listen to me. Some of you have illnesses and sickness that are just unbelievable. How you face it, I don't know. My heart breaks for you, but you face it and you chug it out and you do what you need to do. My friend Jesus is at the shore and He's calling, come and dine. Come and dine. We need to come to Jesus' table. That's where we need to be, ladies and gentlemen. We are feeding too much at the world's table. We're going to the world's solutions. The world's, they're the ones that got us in this economic mess. Jesus calls out, come to my table. Come and dine. Who are you going to? Who are you dining with? Where is your security? Where is your safety? Where are you being fed from? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to quit going to the world for our spiritual problems. We need to go to Jesus. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. Now, whenever you're invited to any home or any dinner, there's always elements to that dinner, isn't there? And I want to talk to you this morning, very briefly, about the elements or the parts to this dining experience. My wife and I, when we celebrated our 30th anniversary a little early, went down to do her favorite thing she loves to do, and that's play golf. Bless her heart. She did it. She did it with it. We played Torrey Pines where the U.S. Open is going to be. Hey, you golfers in the thing. I heard Tiger Woods interviewed on TV the other day, and he said if anybody that's a 10 handicap can break 100 at Torrey Pines, he said that is just remarkable. Nobody will be able to do it. I shot a 95. That's how many golf balls I lost on that course. We went to Roos, and we're going out over the air. I'm not going to give anybody a plug. Went to a famous, it starts with a Ruth and ends with Chris. And we went to a nice restaurant, you know. It was beautiful. We had planned on going downtown. We were driving in, saw one on the side of the road, went that night. It was right at sunset. And it was a beautiful glass window with some kind of weird new-age ornament outside that spun in the wind and all. And you could look out and see the sunset. Boy, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It really was. Let me say this. They ain't got nothing on Outback, though. I got news for you. Don't let them kid you. and sure a lot more expensive. Okay, back to the story. Listen, there were things that you do, though, there. There were things to eat. There was all kind of special settings there, you know. All I need is one fork and a good napkin to wipe it off, and if I don't have the napkin, I can lick the fork off and go to my next course. You know, there, it was really special, you know. I mean, it was really special. Listen to me. Jesus says, come and dine, and when we come to dine with Him, there are some elements of this dining experience that we need to face. Can I give you the first element, and that's the food? That's the food. Did you know Jesus said of Himself that He is the water of everlasting life in John 4:10? Did you know Jesus said that I am the bread of life in John chapter 65? Do you know anything about the basic elements of food that we need in this life? There are two things we need. We need food and we need some form of bread. Jesus said, I am all that you need in this world. That is the food of the experience. Ladies and gentlemen, Christians here today, Jesus is our basic need for everything we need. Why do we go to other places and do other things and not take Jesus at face value of what He says? Let me ask you a question this morning, Christian. When something goes haywire in your life, and if it doesn't every day, if you're in the workforce, it does, what's the first thing and who's the first thing you go to? If you're at home, what's the first thing you do? Wanda, come here. Or it's you, just put, instead of my wife's first name in there, you put your wife's first name in. Is that what you do? What's the first thing you do? Do you pick up the phone and call Roto-Rooter? Or do you fall down on your knees and say, dear God, I've got a situation here. I need your help. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. My table's set all the time, He says. Listen, Jesus is everything we need. He's the staple of life. Why do we not come and dine? He's offering. He's giving it. It's an invitation given. Come, sit at my table. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is calling today. Come and God, come and dine. Did you know what the food for a person that has not taken Jesus as the Savior is? That's that water. See, we must take of the water of the life freely. See, Jesus told the woman at the well this as He was telling her. A woman came to Him and saw Him at this well, and He said, woman, give me drink. And she said, why are you talking to me? I'm a half-breed. I'm a Samaritan. You guys Jews don't talk to us. And He said, look, if you knew who it was that was talking to you, I'd give you water that is everlasting that you never drink for again. See, Jesus is our everlasting ticket. Man, we spend billions upon billions of dollars of health aids and medicines and vitamins to stay young and healthy and live here on this earth. Well, Jesus has given us the opportunity to live forever. We'll say, preacher, why don't you live forever? Well, we all do in a sense. Did you know that everyone in this room will live forever? You say not everybody's saved in this room. I hope it is, but it may not be. But did you know whether we're saved or lost, we live forever? It just depends on where we live, in eternal life or eternal death. See, we all have eternal life. And where we go depends on what we do about our sin penalty. You say, what are you talking about? See, every one of us are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that, we fall short into getting into heaven. Why? Because there's a penalty to pay for our sin. God says there is a wage. That word wage is the same word we use today. It's what you get paid for the work you do. What we get paid for sinning is death. Not physical death. See, we're going to die physically, yes. Our body's going to give out. We're gone. But our spirit will continue to live. Our soul will continue to live. And where it lives depends on what you do about this paying the penalty for that sin. See, that's why Jesus Christ, God Himself, came to earth And he came without sin. I don't care what the modern TV movie makers are saying about Jesus. Jesus never once sinned. Shame on them. Hell isn't hot enough for those people that will die and go to hell and influence people saying that he had an illegitimate relationship with Mary Magdalene. God help them. You can accuse me of sin and find it in my life, but you can't accuse him. You can't find it in it. You can accuse him, but you can't find it. Why? Because Jesus Christ had to live and be tested and tempted just like you and me so that he could go to a cross and die on a cross to pay for my sin and your sin. See, he had to be perfect. See, if he had sinned, then he would have had to pay for his own sin. He had to be perfect. He had to be without sin. Jesus went to the cross and there on the cross paid my sin penalty. See, my list of my sins is just humongous. You take it and you could write for days of all the sins I've ever done. But here's Jesus and his list of sins. Nothing. See, so when Mark Evans, the Bible tells me, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, doesn't say shall join a Baptist church. We're going to have somebody get baptized, but they're going to be baptized because of a profession of what they did in my office and asking Christ to save them. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got a time you called on him, my friend? Can you remember a time that you called on Jesus this morning? Well, Brother Evans, I think I did it here. Well, I joined a Baptist church, or I did this, I did that. My friend, that kind of testimony won't help anybody, let alone yourself. Get it settled this morning. Get it settled. Know for sure that you can remember a time that you asked Christ. Listen to me. That little sweet lady down there, the world's greatest piano player, best wife, beautifulest woman in this world, right there. I'll never forget the time that I met her. Never. I'll never forget that first time. How much more important it is for me to remember when I first met Jesus. Some of your hearts are just thumping out of your breast right now, your chest cavity, because what I'm talking about is what's been a theme. It seems like we've been running through the church lately, and that is you don't have a clear time when you can remember asking Jesus Christ to save you. Sitting on your mother's lap and her telling you is not you getting saved. See, the Bible says that when I trusted Christ, Jesus, God took his list of sins, which were none, put it on my account and put my list on his account and let him die for my sin account. That's why a sinner like Mark Evans, when he dies, even though he's sinned multitudes of times since after he's been saved, can stand before an almighty God, because when God looks at me, he sees Jesus' list on my account, which is no sin. Come and dine! You dear person this morning that sits and wonders and say, well, I think I got it saved here. I think I did it here. I think I did it here. You dear person, come and dine, Jesus calleth. Come and dine. Please come and dine. Jesus' table is prepared. It's ready. He that fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, ladies and gentlemen, he can change your life and give you this salvation. Can I give you the second element? First is the food. Second is the fellowship. That's everybody at the table. The fellowship is everybody that was there. You saw a list of people that came, Simon Peter and these other guys. These were people that joined, were around the table when they came to dine with Jesus. May I say theoretically that the fellowship is the church of Jesus Christ? Turn, if you would, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, you don't need to turn there if you don't want to. I'll just read you a few clips or a few verses, but I want to show you something. Jesus is the head of the church. Look at it. Verse 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Look at verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Verse 25, it says that as the husband love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Ladies and gentlemen, the New Testament church is so important to Christ. He loved it. The entire New Testament's almost written solely to churches. We are New Testament Christians. And yet we make so light of church. But God makes big of it. God says it's a place. Now listen to this statement. Church ought to be a place that you center your life around. Everything about it, it ought to be where you think you live here. Listen to me. It ought to be that you live here. But we've got so many pair of stuff that it's not big to you, but it's big to Jesus. The fellowship of the people of God with Jesus around that fire of coals and bread and fish. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. Ladies and gentlemen, the church is important. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. He goes on to say, and so much the more. More, what more? Going to church. But you know what we're doing? We're making little of that fellowship. Come and dine. There's going to be a dining time at 6 o'clock tonight. There's a dining time at 7 o'clock tonight. There's a dining time on Saturday at 9:30. 6:30 on Tuesday and 8 o'clock. And there's come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. Make big of the church. That's why a lot of you are failing and you're struggling, because the church is just an afterthought. It's a place you go just to get your little boom. Let me tell you something. You can get it on that video. But that doesn't say in Hebrews 10:25, and let us not forsake the videoing of the service. Now get an amen. I got some laughter, but where's some amens on that? That's what raises good families, is centering your kids around your local New Testament church. He coincides this with the wife and the husband loving your wife. What would my wife think about if I called her up tonight and said, honey, I love you, but I'm going over to this lady's house for a little bit instead. She's got a good home, good stuff. I'm going to go over there. I would be a dead man. I'm almost dead just looking at the look that she's giving me right now. Well, we're going to go. If you get you a local New Testament fellowship and get settled in a church and build your life around. I say your life. That means if you're just married and you have no children, that means you and your wife. If you got kids, build it around it. Well, my kids don't like. You know why they don't like it? Because they're not coming and dining. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. Can I give you the last point? We'll get out of here. The food, the fellowship is another element. And then the fair. Go home and get up your dictionary and look it up. The fair, F-A-R-E. What is that? You eat what is set before you. You eat what's set before you. I know that's a lost thing in America nowadays, and I bet you it's even two generations. But my friend, when I was growing up in rural Atlanta, which used to be rural before it was a million people, and we lived in the city of Atlanta, and it was rural then, and you're halfway, you know, it's such a metropolis now. When my mother put something on that plate, that fare in front of me, we ate that. I don't like that. That's okay, honey. Let's go out to Burger King and get you something. That's why our kids look like. That's what I look like. I look like. What am I talking about? Those three fingers got me real good there.
Ladies and gentlemen, eat what is set before you. Well, Jesus, and this is the way it is with Christians. Well, Jesus, you just understand me and my problems. And God says, oh, that excuses you from eating what I've supplied in the bread of life. No, I'm afraid not, my friend. You eat the fare that's set in front of you. You dine when the invitation's coming and He says, come and dine. You don't have to come and dine, but He asks you to come and dine. The place is set. The table's ready. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. You know, we're not saved to do our own thing, do our own way. But we're saved to do His thing, do His way. Why do we want just to justify what we do in our life and think that God just winks at it? You say, well, God says He winks at it. That doesn't even apply to this principle and truth, ladies and gentlemen. We do what God's will is for our life, no excuses. But I know that doesn't sound right. You know, I mean, we take out debt we don't owe, and then they say, okay, you can claim bankruptcy. Banks fail because they loan sorry loans, and then our government comes in and bails them out. Nothing new. What's new? We're doing that all through our system of welfare. We're killing ourselves. Why? It goes back to the principle, and a lot of it starts in our local New Testament churches, because we're teaching that my situation affects the fare of the situation. God knows me. Yes, God knows us, and God says, eat what's set before us. Can I say one more thing real quick? Salvation is the same way, ladies and gentlemen. Salvation is the same way. So I closed my Bible so I give you hope that we're going to get out of here real quick. You know, some of us think that, oh, we didn't do it this Baptist way to get saved. We're not Baptist, and we created the Bible. The Bible created the Baptist. And we think just because our testimony isn't quite right, but God knows me. God knows I want to go saved. No, ladies and gentlemen, we must do salvation the way God says to do salvation. That is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever hath the Son hath life. You've got to have the Son in your heart. How do you get Him in there? You ask Him in there. And my friend, when you ask Him in there, you'll remember when you ask Him in there. It won't be if, I think, maybe, hope so. Get it settled, ladies and gentlemen. Eat what is set before you. Man, I wouldn't want to die going through it, come to my deathbed and say, well, I think I did it. No, sir. I want to come to my deathbed knowing back on September or whenever it was. I just lied because I don't know the date. But I remember where I was on that bed on the third floor in room number 7 in my barracks. I remember asking Jesus to come into my heart. Come and dine, the Master called. Come and dine this morning. Some of you, I know you're up against it. Jesus gives you the invitation. Come and dine. Everything you need, Christian, is there. He is the sustaining part of life. He's the bread. He's the water. If you're not saved, if you have some doubt, listen, we love you. I think I just want to give the old devil a black eye. If I wasn't sure, I wouldn't want to go around the back way. And you can do this now, but I'd want to give the devil a black eye. I'd want to walk down this aisle, shake my hand and say, I'm not 100% sure, and let somebody take a Bible and show you and you make sure. Give the old devil a black eye. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. Every head bowed, please, and every eye closed. Please stand to your feet.